Welcome to the If Money Were Easy podcast, the show where we teach you how to expand what's possible with your money. We're your hosts, Neela Hummel
and Mary Beth Storjahan,
certified financial planners and co-CEOs of Abacus Wealth Partners. Today on the show, we're going to talk about, so you want to be a real estate mogul? But before we jump in, a brief disclosure from our compliance department. This podcast is for educational purposes and is not intended as investment, legal, or tax advice. Any opinion shared is not the opinion of Abacus Wealth Partners. All right, Mary Beth, this is a fun conversation.
This is so exciting for me because back in the day, I guess, when I was actively advising clients on an ongoing, everyday kind of basis, real estate came up maybe once a week in terms of how to leverage it. Buying a property, buying more properties, scaling more. How about you?
Yeah, it comes up so much. We've got this idea of the American dream and people wanting to buy homes. And then you also hear with social media and all these different home renovation shows, you're seeing all of the ways that real estate is showing up in people's lives. And so people have a lot of questions on it. It is a very different kind of investment. And so I think it's very intriguing and people love to talk about it. So I think we end up fielding a lot of questions on what role does real estate play in my financial plan and how do I really take advantage of it?
Yeah, agreed. And I think there are so many angles that we can hit to talk about this. I mean, the American dream is one thing, just breaking that down and what it looks like today. The idea of owning real estate as a passive income source. And is real estate rental income or commercial? Is that really truly passive income? And what does it look like? The concentration risk involved there, et cetera. So we'll try to cover it all today, give you some CFP knowledge of how we approach it with our clients and how we look at it and break it down. So let's go.
Let's do it. All right. So first, myth or fact, people say homes. I'm going to buy my home. My home is the best investment I can possibly make. Mary Beth, true or false?
Maybe. It's a maybe. It depends.
It depends.
It depends.
Talk us through it.
I go with it depends. And I think this is up for negotiation. It depends on if your real estate home is a buy and hold strategy. So obviously we have no idea where the market is going. Real estate trends upwards over time. It depends on where you're purchasing, the market you're purchasing in, where interest rates are at the time in terms of your mortgage. But I would say potentially, You said the best investment you'll ever make?
Yes.
No. Oh gosh, I don't know. 1960, you bought a house in San Diego. Maybe.
Right. It's so hard. I mean, I think it's
not doing great here. I don't know. I'm at a maybe, y'all. I'm at a maybe, but I want you to know the risks going into it. It's a potential, but know if you're going into it.
Yeah. I think that's exactly right. It can be, and it also can't be. I think there's a lot of things that go into making real estate a good investment. And I think there's also a lot of ideas that people think that it is better than it is, right? Once you examine all the costs associated with it.
Yeah. I think if you're talking about your home, because we're looking at your home just appreciation, not generating income off your home. So the perspective of the investment in your home being the best investment you'll ever make, I think that depends on your hold strategy. How long are you staying in the home, the market that you're buying in, what interest rates look like when you do buy and what the mortgage payments look like for you. But it really depends on if it's the best investment you'll ever make, you will have to cash in on that at some point in time. I think the hold strategy for that is the big question. The ownership part of it, the American dream and the owning something and having ownership over something that you can control and all the maintenance and things that come with all of that. I think that's like that dream side, but it really depends on where the market is at that point in time and what your life plans out to be as to whether or not that truly will be the best investment you make in your life. Obviously, the market returns are pretty competitive.
So when we think about, do you want to be a real estate mogul? We have people who come in who own 100% of their net worth is in real estate. They have their personal residence and then they own one or more rental properties and are interested in owning more. What else do you see with people that are very interested in real estate?
So with people who are really interested in real estate, sometimes I see a mistrust of the market, of the stock market.
Right.
And they view the rental real estate, they view their real estate empire as a way to create that steady stream of income. The misperception that I also see though is that And I think it's a branding issue that real estate investments have, is that it's passive income. And that's always been the interesting thing that I've seen over the past few decades, is that real estate investing is very trendy. There are so many blogs and just other sub brands dedicated to real estate investing. And the idea that this is a passive income when people are spending so much time invested in learning about it and then actually maintaining or outsourcing the maintenance and then flipping and then trying to get new renters in there and managing those processes. I think that's the interesting thing, is the mindset around it. Some people are all in real estate. Some people are all in on the stock market or on public markets. I think that's the interesting psychology thing that I see a bit. And a lot of my work ends up being trying to get people to allocate some of that real estate money into the market to diversify because of concentration risk. I don't know if that's what you've seen too, but the concentration risk has always been an interesting avenue to hit on. And it really depends on where those people are in their careers or the fields that they're in and why they're so passionate about it. It's almost as if somebody's fully invested in their employer stock plan and you're trying to get them to diversify out of it.
Yeah. I totally agree that you end up seeing people who are very comfortable with real estate. And so they are all about real estate, but there is an underbelly. It is very hard to own a bunch of properties and be a very passive owner unless you are paying for management companies. And then that kind of eats into your return. So, you know, when you think about the real estate strategy, is what is an individual's goal? Is it that they want to own all of these different real estate buildings, et cetera? Or are they looking for income replacement? What do you think?
I think that is the exact question, right? This is personal finance. Depending on if it's a business that owns the real estate, if it's you personally in your own financial plan and your financial portfolio, but what is the goal with real estate is always the question that I start out, right? If somebody's coming to me and they want to invest in rental properties and they want to pursue that as a strategy, I ask what the goal is. Yep. Is it about diversification? Is it about income replacement? Is it about ego? Because sometimes real estate ownership is about ego. And so really understanding, and the risk tolerance involved, but understanding the individual client and what their goal is for the real estate is it. And then we can advise around it, because we're always going to advise some sort of diversification strategy. So depending even with real estate, the markets that you're buying in, if it's commercial versus residential, the types of homes, in order to diversify a real estate portfolio, and if you're buying individual units, you do have to go quite big and broad in order to have that diversification. And sometimes it's not even enough, especially if all of your eggs are in just the real estate basket.
Absolutely. And when we talk about diversification, we're not saying two properties. We're thinking about there's a lot of different types of real estate. There's personal real estate, like homes, single family real estate. There's multifamily apartment buildings. There's commercial real estate. And then you also have types of markets. Is it a core market? Is it more of a fringe market? What is the geography? What are the risks associated with that geography? You know, I live in Los Angeles. Me having seven properties in Los Angeles, that's one type of diversification, but I've got a lot of Los Angeles exposure risk. Mm-hmm. And so making sure that you're, like you said, really taking into account, how do we diversify? What does diversification mean? And do I have the capital to properly diversify my real estate investments?
Exactly. With all of that, the diversification strategy, and then you're at the will of interest rates. So where interest rates are right now in terms of impacting the financing that you can obtain, if you're needing to continue to build on this strategy, the way the debt is costing, and if you're trying to pursue this on an ongoing basis, what's happening to markets now versus what was happening back in 2020, very different. So understanding that cost of capital and the impact or wrench that interest rates can throw into your strategy.
100%. And when you're thinking about it from a cash flow standpoint, we also have to be prepared when things don't go our way. So I know of clients who had a number of different real estate holdings, and then the pandemic hit and nobody was paying rent. And so you think about the kind of cash flow buffer that you might need. The more in the real estate game you are, you got to be able to weather some big bumps just in case. Because like you said, you are in one sector. And so there's a lot of things that can be thrown at you. You got to be able to weather some of those risks.
Yep. So let's do pros and cons. Let's hit the benefits of real estate in a portfolio. And then also on the other side, let's hit some of the risks. So long-term appreciation. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, I think it is an important asset class. It is part of a diversification strategy, and that real estate prices tend to go up over time. Now, unfortunately, with real estate, you don't see a stock ticker on your front yard. And right. so you don't often see the same kind of volatility that real estate really has. So I feel like that's often compared to the stock market of, well, real estate's not as volatile.
Right.
Well, it is. You just don't really see it because you don't have that ticker right in your face. But the reality is that in most cases, real estate does appreciate over time, knowing that there are peaks and valleys to the housing economic cycle.
Agree. Yeah. One of the things I'd say, I know that happens in our household and it happens with clients, is going to every real estate website, Zillow, Redfin, all of the websites, and then taking the average of those and assuming that is what your house is worth, right? So that's totally. That's what happens totally. Quite a bit. Not necessarily true. And so I think that's the biggest thing too, is understanding the individual markets that you're in. So where we are, for example, we're in San Diego County. We're not in San Diego City though. And we know that when we bought into the community that we bought into, we are one of the first communities to get hit when prices go down. When the market downturn happens, our community is going to go down before the rest of San Diego goes down. That's just the nature of the community, that we've seen the trends over time. And we knew coming into this that when everything started to pause or slow down, we get hit first. And mm-hmm. we're seeing it now. So I think that's understanding the markets that you're buying in and the trends that happen over time. There could be a steady increase, but are you buying in a market that is likely to be hit first? Or is there some sort of stability there? So totally. That knowledge is important to have.
Which then, as we talk about buy and hold as a great strategy, generally, the longer you hold something, you will get some sort of an appreciation right. from it. The question is, will it be enough compared to what you could have gotten in other markets?
But, exactly. Yeah, it's a paper game at the end of the day until you lock it in. The other pro, obviously, we talked about rental income. You're going to generate some sort of rental income. You'll have a steady cash flow. That is where a lot of people, they call it passive income. What we just talked about is really, truly passive. And so that rental income is a great boost to your own cash flow, assuming you need to make sure that you're netting positive on the other side of the mortgage payments, property, additional expenses, management companies for managing those properties. So the passive income comes from that net positive yes. cash flow that you are hopefully getting from that rental income.
Yes. I'd say another piece is taxes. Our yes. tax code favors real estate investing. You can tell that the real estate industry has a very solid lobbying game in Washington because you get all types of deductions when you invest in real estate. You got to keep really good records. And we talk a little bit about, are you a passive owner? Are you an active owner? That really does influence your tax treatment. But investing in real estate can be a big win from just a pure tax standpoint right. because of things like depreciation and deducting the costs associated with running the business.
Yeah. And there's strategies like 1031 exchanges that people deploy to exchange the property. So I think, yeah, the depreciation, those things, if you're looking into rental real estate, if you're looking to become a real estate mogul, really understanding the tax advantages of it is where it's going to benefit you. You need to make sure you have a very solid CPA on your side. If you're not looking at the numbers as closely, you want to make sure that there is somebody who is helping you to maximize the strategy there.
100%.
Going in tandem with the rental income is the inflation hedge. Ideally, the real estate can act as a hedge against inflation when we're increasing rents over time, right? Inflation goes up, interest rates go up, your rental income ideally goes up as well. It doesn't necessarily happen like that in real time though. Some people are just happy. I have family members who are like, I've got a tenant in there and I'm keeping them for 4 years at the same rate. And you're like, oh, maybe, but you're right. You run the risk though of increasing rent and then those tenants leave and then you have turnover, right? So understanding what your comfort level is with that, but ideally you get the inflation hedge there with the increase in rental income.
Yeah, agreed. I'd say the only other one I can think of, and I'm curious if you have others, is the physical nature of real estate. For some reason, gives people the warm and fuzzies. Mm-hmm. They're like, it's real estate. You know, they're not printing any more earth. There's not going to be any more earth. And I've got my land. And the fact that it is fixed and that people can see it as an investment, like a physical investment, people like that. And it is somewhat immune from the day-to-day volatility that you see from a stock market standpoint. It's there, but you just don't see it in the same way.
Yeah, I'd say the psychology behind that plot of land, that stability is a big one. I would also say, I don't know, a hot take. I don't know if it's a hot take or I know that it happens. A lot of wealth has been passed down to future generations through real estate. So real estate has been leveraged to create generational wealth in a lot of families. And typically those are white families, if you want to go back into the history of the United States and everything we have going on here. But the generational wealth transfer that happens in real estate is an interesting strategy.
Yeah.
Maybe not necessarily the best one, but I know that does happen, especially with older generations. I know that they very much hold on to the family home or hold on to the lake house or the summer house, and that gets passed down. So real estate has been a way for older generations to pass some sort of tangible history down to the next generation.
Totally. Okay. So there are some pros, and I know you and I could probably spend 75 hours talking about some of the cons and the gotchas, just because we want to make sure people have the full scope. So when we think about the cons, what are the big ones that you come up against?
Oh my gosh. I'd say lack of liquidity is a big one.
Yeah.
Less liquid than other investments. And every time you turn over a property, if you are selling a property, you're typically going to hit with those seller's fees off the bat, unless you're your own real estate agent too, in which case, again, it's not passive because you're investing so much of your time into maintaining
your property.
What's your time worth? So I'd say the lack of liquidity is a big one, depending on what your financial plan and goals are. But that's one of the risks.
Yeah.
How about you?
I think the idea of being along the ride for whatever the market's doing. It is one asset class. So you experience market volatility, whether you think it or not. And, you know, you mentioned interest rate and how interest rates play into it. But ultimately, you want ultimate flexibility when you invest in real estate, because you don't want to be in a position where you need to sell because you're a distressed seller, because something's happened in the market, or you don't have liquidity elsewhere, or your tenants aren't making their rent. And so you are on the market volatility cycle, and you got to be prepared to do that and to be on that ride and not kind of get caught in a position where you have to make a move that you might not want to make.
Yeah, I would say how it's played out in my experience with working with clients. So I work with typically clients in their 30s, 40s. And what I have found with rental real estate, so I have a subset of clients who have been in the military based on my husband being former military. We ended up with a lot of military clients, and military, as we know, they get moved around a lot. So yeah. Going back, we did talk just before we hit record about buying homes, right? So they'll buy homes in the city that they're in, and then they're going to turn that one into a rental property, and they're on their way into the next place. They want to buy a home there, turn them into rental properties. And the fact of the matter is the amount of time involved in them, the number of clients I've had to assist in unwinding those rental properties, which means selling them because they're cash flow negative. It's never the huge win that people are looking for, unless you're looking maybe the appreciation again over a buy and hold in the value of the home could be one thing. But the cash flow, it's kind of a little bit like dying a slow death sometimes. You're nickel and dimed into the negative over time. And there are tax benefits, but when you're looking at the time involved, the tenant turnover, the stress factor of it, that's been, I think, the negatives of it is unless you're really dedicated and doing it well and investing your time and building a thoughtful strategy. And over the long run, if you're just doing the 1, 2, 3 off different homes, those are the ones when you start to really dig into the numbers with clients. And this is your everyday clients, right? Not the ones that are necessarily specializing in it, but wanted to collect a few properties over time. Those are the ones that the clients are typically surprised to see that they're cash flow negative. I don't know if that's what you've seen or if you've had experience.
Totally. There has been exactly one instance where clients come in and I'm like, oh, you're actually doing great, right? From a cash on cash basis.
I get so excited when I see that. I was like, this is a different message that I typically deliver.
Because, you know, to your previous point about raising rents, is what we typically see is that a client's held on to a property. Maybe it was their first home or something, and they've held on to it and they've rented it out. What they're doing is they're renting it way below market. They're either paying a property management fee, and so they're cutting into whatever slim profits they already have, or they're finding themselves fixing broken pipes at 10 p.m. on a Friday, which is, talk about what is your time worth. And then, you know, we also have to talk about the opportunity cost of what that money could be invested in. So it's not just, in addition to cash flow, there's equity in those properties. Mm-hmm. And is that equity working as hard as it could be? And you made the point on general diversification and lack of liquidity. You know, when you own a rental real estate investment, you've got a single family home, when you need cash, you can't just like sell a bathroom. You got to sell the whole darn thing.
Right.
You can't be like, you know what? I'm going to harvest this shower and be able to pay my property tax. Doesn't work like that.
Doesn't work that way. Exactly. And that's a really interesting perspective too. We take that with when clients want to buy a second home, mm-hmm. right? The goal of second home and what's the goal behind it? What's the why? What's the opportunity cost of that capital versus can you just take a chunk of that money, allow yourself to spend and splurge on vacation every year, every other year with your family at a destination of choice, and then deploy the capital in a different way where it can leverage and grow for you versus, again, that you're jumping it all into this one home and then you really got to use it, right? And then mm-hmm. you feel guilty if you're not using it, or you can VRBO it. There's that also, but that's that perspective we take too with second homes, or I've taken before is, again, what's the why behind it and what need does it fill with your family? Mm-hmm. And I'm not anti second homes. I'm not anti rental real estate. I am pro going in with open eyes and the perspective of what the pros and cons are each side are, right? And making an informed decision. This whole episode is really about the rose-colored glasses with rental real estate and the branding and the messaging and the money that so many TikTokers and everybody makes off of, you know, just getting to passive real estate. It's just not that. And so it's really about making an informed decision for how it best supports your life and needs.
Definitely. Real estate is often approached as this how do it mm-hmm. because this is the how to do it. But what I think you're getting at too is what is the why behind it? And does that how, does owning a bunch of real estate property, does that actually support your why? Or is it just kind of another means to the end? Because I feel like the people that I know that really make it as the real estate mogul, as we would say, it is a grind and right. they work really hard.
Yes.
And yes. they are tracking their hours and they are tracking their expenses. And I hope they make a lot of money yeah. because they are putting so much time and energy into it that I'm like, you go.
I have so much respect. I have so much respect. I'm like, as long as that is what you are choosing to do and it makes sense for you and you're making the money that you feel that you should be making off of it, I am all for that. But knowing again, the balance and the priorities of so many of our clients' lives that come to us looking for more time or a sense of peace. And then they're like, let's be rental real estate owners. I'm like, remember you wanted peace in your life? And you wanted more time to travel with your family? How do you see there's panning out?
It's a Venn diagram and they kind of bump up against each yeah. other. We got to kind of pick one.
That's it. I'm just like, again, going back to those things. Again, opportunity costs, time, money. If that's something they're looking for, let's make it happen. But again, knowing the risks, we hit on the financing, we hit on interest rate risks. So again, if you're trying to start your real estate mogul strategy today, you might want to wait 12 to 24 months. We'll see. And then I'd say management and maintenance. There's just regulatory and legal risks, I think, when you're rental real estate in terms of what communities you are allowed to do rental properties in, VRBOs. I know there's lots of zoning laws, tenant rights, what we were just talking about. We're talking about doing a team retreat. And what did you tell me about Palm Springs, Nila, that you knew?
Oh, so they have very strict noise ordinances and they do not mess around with those noise ordinances. So you are outside your house after like 9 p.m. Palm Springs is not happy. You are not welcome. Which, you know, you're there and you're in this magical area and it's quiet and I get it. Right. But take that into consideration, because if you are renting out your property in Palm Springs and you have guests who do not know that, you will know soon because you will be notified.
Right. So these are, you know, things to keep in mind as you are pursuing the strategy. There are risks that can come in and surprise you and cost you.
Yep. And I don't think we can underestimate how important the time piece is. If you own real estate and you are putting your time into it, whether it is an Airbnb, you know, VRBO type situation, or you're actually owning a property, it costs a lot of time. So I want to give a little story about my brief foray into being an Airbnb host.
Do tell.
So when we first bought our house, it was just my husband and me. We had an in-law unit. You know, we were coming from a much smaller apartment and we were like, hey, we can rent this puppy out for extra income. So we put it on Airbnb and we started being Airbnb hosts. This is like 8 years ago. Within a week and a half, I found myself leaving meetings early so that I could go home and scrub a shower. And I'm like, what am I doing? What am I doing? This is insane. Somebody left the air conditioning on, sent our utility bill through the roof. You're going back and forth with people in terms of, hey, where do you recommend we eat around here? I just punch me in the face. So never again, never again. I've entertained the idea of being Airbnb hostess for about 3 weeks and that was enough. And now I'm done. Never again. Thank you very much.
I love it. So that's one story. And I'd say conversely, I have a great friend who they just financed, they built an ADU on their property. And so the long run is that the in-laws are able to move in there should they need to in the years ahead. However, as of right now, they're getting 6 month renters in there, right? And so she's already run the numbers, crunched the numbers, like, okay, cash flow at X amount, we're going to get our financing paid off in 7 years. Then it's going to be cash flow positive after that. So that is, again, this is a financial planner, good friend who did this numbers, right? So then you're making a strategic, informed investment decision about the ROI of like, okay, I'm going to cash flow it and running the numbers. And she's got the break even. And even with, you know, what the costs were, the estimated one cost for the build. And obviously, once you get into the projects, they cost a little bit more. And so, but keeping track of that over time and knowing the break even and when you'll start to cash flow positive on it, those are the important things when you're looking to get into real estate. It is a hobby and an investment. And so making sure you're in those numbers and you, again, going back to what is your time worth? Because it's not just the scrubbing the toilets and also hearing about all of the locks that have been changed and all of the upkeep and getting the house right. Ready. But so your time worth there and your time worth for the adjustments along the way and the stress of additional debt sometimes too, in some cases, right, to pay off. Hello, I'm just maybe a little debt averse over
somebody,
here.
If somebody hypothetically was debt averse.
Yes, somebody something? Hypothetically. But for me, I very much respect all of my clients and I encourage them to do what works and makes sense for their financial plans. But I think that's true. And this friend of mine as well, understanding even if you're not debt averse, when you end up in more debt than you expect to be, in some cases, it's still like an impact, right? And you still get a little stressed and you're like, okay, I'm going to take this debt on, but then you have the debt and then it's still a little stressful one way or another. I'm actually okay getting the debt and then I get it. And then I'm like, oh, this was uncomfortable now.
Like it's still here.
It's still here. Now I see it. So I think that's the thing. And then, you know, is real estate something you enjoy?
Yeah. Do you enjoy it?
And I can't help but go back to, I was sitting with my almost 94-year-old grandmother. Is she 94? 93 at breakfast 3 months ago. And we were talking about hobbies and ways she's spending her time. And I was trying to encourage her to go out to lunch with some of the friends she's making in the community she's living in. And she said, I don't want to go out to lunch when they feed me here. Why would I go out to lunch and spend money on lunch? They feed me perfectly well right here. And I was like, well, you should probably get out. What brings you joy? What brings you joy in your life? And she said, you really want to know what brings me joy? Real estate brings me joy. And I was like, yeah, I can see that. I get that about you. You know, so 93, she's like, hey, I respect that. Like, this is it. And real estate was her answer. And I was like, I got respect. And it is, it brings her joy. And you know, who am I to tell her otherwise?
I'm going to go on record and say that real estate brings me marginal joy, mostly just the real estate that I live in. Right. I like that piece of it. And I never want to be on the hook for somebody else's toilet ever. Yeah,
ever. Agreed. Yeah. So, and we, you know, we've talked about, you know, with clients and then personally for us, more maintenance, it's more and more maintenance and you just have to be okay with that. And a lot of people are, and I think that's great if you are, but again, going into it with knowledge, understanding the risks and the potential benefits of rental real estate and knowing we're never going to recommend that you have a full portfolio of rental real estate. And we'll recommend diversification, I think, across the board for clients in general.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that the clients that have had the most success are the ones who have kept it to well below 50% of their overall net worth. And that is also spread out across a lot of different types of real estate. Generally, they have professional management, but then they have a big other chunk of their net worth that is diversified, a little bit more liquid, and they get that exposure. Because we do believe that real estate is an important part of your investment plan.
Correct.
But also don't get so caught up in the, like you said, the rose-colored glasses. Because while people say, hey, real estate, it is the best investment, you know, my parents ever made. Chances are it was the only investment that parent made because in essence, real estate is a forced savings mechanism because you make principal payments. And so it acts as this kind of forced savings mechanism that might often make people think that it's a better deal than it is.
Right. I would say just in closing, the thing to keep in mind is yes, real estate is an important part of your portfolio. Your home is one portion of that. You don't need to own additional properties outright in order to have real estate as that portion of your portfolio. There are funds and there are ways to invest to supplement the real estate, the fixed asset portion of your financial portfolio. So make sure you're talking with your advisor about what that looks like. If you're not sure, if you are invested in real estate in your portfolio, you very likely could be. It's a question to ask. So if you're looking to get that real estate exposure, you don't necessarily have to go out and buy homes or commercial properties in order to make that happen.
Absolutely. So that's it. In the sake of closing, we end with, should I own real estate? Should I be a real estate mogul? And the answer is, it depends.
Maybe. Talk to you next time.
Thanks.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of If Money Were Easy. If this is the year that you want to expand what's possible with your money, and you can use some professional guidance along the way, head over to abacuswealth.com/get started and schedule your free consultation.